Thank you, Father God. You are a great and wonderful God to have your word for us to be able to learn from. Thank you for everyone that was able to arrive here safely in your house this morning. We are your church. We praise you. Help us to open our hearts and our minds to the songs that we sing and the thoughts that we have on your behalf this morning. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Hearts to your heart, dear Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. I hope everybody just thought the fishing was good and I didn't run everybody off last week. This morning we talked last week about what we could do to improve our relationship. Still got feedback?
Yeah.
Is that better? Is that better? It's better, 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 better. Yeah. About what we could do to improve our relationship with God. Are we choosing to go with the Lord and His will? This week, we're going to talk about what He has done through the grace of the cross to try to improve our relationship with Him. We're going to start with scriptures, and we're going to read them together, if that's okay. Let's read.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight, in love. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So He began teaching them many things.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's a mouthful. That's a lot, ain't it? That's a lot that God did for us. I mean, right there in the first scripture, it says that heavenly realms, that God has gave us everything we need to be spiritually fit and spiritually good through His Son. There's just nothing on this face of the earth that we need out of this world to be at peace. But man still constantly seeks through their work to find spiritual peace in their soul, only to fail their self. That He allowed our Lord and Savior to hang on the cross to give us a way out, to bring us back into fellowship with Him, with the Creator, to be back at one in our spirit with the Lord. But once again, that old thing, free will, we have to choose that path. He won't force us down it. We can choose to be sheep without a shepherd. Of course, we all know what happens to sheep without shepherds. The wolves come and they devour them. They eat them up because they have no protection. That's a shepherd's primary goal, is to protect his flock and keep it safe. And that's who Christ is to us if we choose it. My sermon is going to be short this morning. It's not going to be a long, drawn-out thing. This is usually my favorite part. Most of y'all guys know that I coached baseball for years and got to deal with youth and stuff, and I really and always enjoyed getting to the point to talk to young men every now and then and approach the subject that there's a God, especially when you saw so many young men, you know, they're constantly, you know, struggling with drinking and using and stuff. Even my own son struggled with those problems, you know, and hoping that you can just reach one of them and turn the light switch on that, you know, the peace is not in this thing that you have, you know. And what I love about them is when you start discussing this, young guys will not bite their tongue. You know, they're not like other people if they, you know, grown-ups, if they think you're in a position of authority or something and you say something, they'll kind of bite their tongue, you know, because even though that they don't agree with you or don't think what you're saying is true or just can't buy into it or whatever it is, to keep the peace, they'll kind of bite their tongue and say, well, yeah, that's one way of looking at it. Yeah, I guess I could see that or whatever. Not a young guy. A young guy will ask you, how do you even know any of that's true? This point blank. How, can you even prove that? Can you prove any of that's true, coach? Huh? You know? I say, oh, Lord, I got you now, son. I got you. You just messed up. That's the question that I wanted you to ask. Can I prove it's true? He said, I don't want you to beat me up with the Bible or shove the Bible down my throat. I said, no, I'm just going to talk to you. I'm going to ask you questions. Do you believe there ever was a group of people called the Romans? Yeah. I believe they're Romans. Do you believe that maybe someone named Jesus Christ existed? I'm not asking you to accept these God right now. I'm just asking, do you believe a human being walked on the face of the earth and some people called him Jesus? And that was his name. Oh, yeah. I believe that. I believe, you know, he was something. And do you believe that Pontius Pilate took him to the hill of Calvary on the behalf of the Romans and the Jews and crucified him and put him to death? Well, yeah, I guess. I said, well, do you believe that the Romans took thousands of people and crucified them and put them to death. Oh, yes, yes, yes. So Jesus could have been one of them. And then I'll ask the next question. Can you name any other of those thousand? Do you? And the answer is no. I can't remember one name of the other thousand. I can't. I just can't. You know? Of just the thousands and thousands and thousands. So why are we still talking about this guy Jesus over 2,000 years later and none of them other people? Because he's the Son of God. That's why, son. That's why we're still talking about him. The most greatest battle that ever happened in the history of humanity happened on a hill called Calvary. And one being with no sword, no desire to raise his hand in violence against anyone, defeated the most strongest empire of mankind. He destroyed by hanging on the cross, being persecuted, being dying for our sin, putting in the tomb, being resurrected. He wiped the Roman Empire off the face of the earth. He was the beginning of the end of the Roman Empire. They had only crucified themselves. How do I know that? How do I know that's true? I can tell you this morning, you can leave right now, walk out this door, and go less than a quarter of a mile that way, less than a quarter of a mile this way, and you can find a building with people in there that will claim to be Christians and seeking their Lord and Savior. You can also go out this door, and you can walk to Canada or to Coeur d'Alene or all the way back to Alabama where I'm from, and you won't find anyone claiming to be a Roman. Anyone claiming to be a Roman. Jesus is real. He existed. We're still talking about him 2,000 years plus later. This book is real. This information is the Word of God, the Creator of all mankind. This word lives. I pick it up, I look at it, and it speaks to me in my spirit if I have an earnest heart seeking the Creator's will, still to the day. I need nothing else to survive this world but Jesus Christ. And nothing else on this earth will allow me to survive this world but Jesus Christ. Houses will come and go. Mothers and fathers will come and go. Children will come and go. Riches will come and go in my life. Everything is the sign to pass away on the face of the earth as I know it, in the flesh. The only thing that I'm guaranteed forever is a personal relationship with the Lord, my Savior, Christ, and His Father, and the Holy Ghost. That's where the good stuff is. That's where it's at. I'm going to tell a story, and then I'm going to hush up and then ask Mr. Mike to. But I'm going to tell a story that Jeff Foxworthy told. Everybody knows who Jeff Foxworthy is, right? Huh? But it's a good story. Most people don't know that in Atlanta, or some people do, I don't know, I won't say most. But in Atlanta, Jeff Foxworthy goes every Tuesday or Thursday, it is, and he goes into a homeless shelter there in a way where he does a Bible class for the homeless there, and the homeless man in the, you know, the man center. And the story that he tells that touched his soul, you know, they came to him, one of the guys, and asking me, thinking they were going to want money and different stuff, you know, and Jeff said, so it surprised him, the only thing they asked him, will you come and spend an hour or so a week and teach a Bible class? That's all. We don't want none of your money or anything like that. We just want you to come and share, you know, the Lord with these men, your relationship with God. So he said, oh, yeah, I'll do that. You know, it kind of was a challenge to him. And he said, he was sitting there and they were having a Bible class. And a bunch of guys were sitting around. And they were talking about the Bible. Is the Bible real and stuff? And one of the gentlemen spoke up and said, that's just a book. It's just a book. It's nothing more than a book, like any other book. He said, then the director got up and took the Bible, walked over, and threw it in a garbage can. And then he said, this big guy named Wayne got up and said, don't do that. Don't do that. And he went over and he got the Bible out of the garbage can and wiped it off and cleaned it up and took, you know, and said, you know, and then Jeff asked him, said, well, if it's just the book, you guys are saying, why are you so concerned about it being thrown in the garbage can? And then he said, this big fella in tears started telling a story. Said he got a bunch of money after his mother passed away. And I hear it's about $70,000, most money he ever had in his life. And then he got to partying. And then he got to smoking crack. And then he lost his job. And then he lost his home. And then he lost everything. And then when the money was gone, everybody was gone. And the only two things he had left at the end of the process, he said, was two garbage bags and a little bit of clothes. And one Bible that his mother had wrote a love letter from God to him in. And when he gave it to him. And he said it dawned on him that he had lost that bag. He'd lost that book. He ended up in a mission, got cleaned, and was just trying to get back on his feet financially. About a year later, he was 100 miles away from Atlanta, and they were cleaning up this apartment that this guy was renovating. And he was down in the bottom. Guy was throwing out of the top story bags down to him to throw in the dumpster. He said they got it all cleaned up and got back upstairs. And the guy had set some stuff that was working with him to the side. And he said, I think there's stuff in this that we can sell. So he went over there and got looking through the bag and opened it up. And there was the Bible that his mama had gave him. And he said he fell and hit his knees in tears right there. And said, if God is going to soothe me this hard, I am going to stop running. That this is not just a book. This is the living word of my Lord and Savior. It's the most precious thing on the face of the earth that humanity has. And without it, humanity is lost. Amen. This here will keep me in tune with my Lord. It will check me, put me in my place. And anytime I pick it up, anytime I look at a scripture, it speaks something to me. But I must pick it up. It's kind of like having a TV with the volume turned down. You can sit there and look at it and see stuff going on, and you can kind of figure out what's going on, but you don't know what's really going on because you're not hearing what they're talking about. So you don't get the true picture, the true story. I must pick up this Bible and turn the volume up on my TV, my spiritual TV, where I can get the complete story. I will challenge you with this, and then I will shut up. In our first scripture, just go and look. Go back over the first scriptures we read and look how many gifts and blessings that God gave to us in them scriptures. But are we going to claim them? Are we going to claim them? God's standing, he stands like this all the time. He's got his arms open. Christ is standing with his arms open. And he's longing in his soul, in his spirit, for you to just come and let him put his arms around you and hold him. And hold you. And tell you how much he loves you. And how much he's grateful that you love him. That you're willing to believe in him again. Brother Mike, I'd ask you to close us in prayer if you would, sir, please. Thank you for letting me share today. My Lord's word. Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
Trophies at last I lay down. trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And exchange someday for a
crown. Ladies are bossing us around all the time, aren't they? Heard about the value of that book. Father, we need to remember that what Jeremiah said, he said that book is like a hammer that crushes mighty boulders. We should pick up that hammer, should we not? Father, Isaiah said that God said that his word goes out but never returns to him void. So when we open it up, let's just pray that we don't allow any of this word to go back to you void. Yes.
I just live in it.
No. Father, we talked about heard Hollis talk about proving that this is all real. I would echo Alma's thanks for those songwriters that express those things that we can't do very well. And one of the ones that I take and claim for my own is the song that he lives, that you live. And the question in the song is, how do we know that he lives? He lives, I know he lives, because he lives in my heart. Does he live in yours? Father, in the first scriptures we heard this morning, read, it says that we were given every spiritual blessing. And we slide right over that every, not some, not a few, but every single spiritual blessing we've already been given. Father, you are incredible. You're beyond description. You are amazing. And you're mine.